I would like to thank everyone coming and joining us in worship today. I hope that you all had a good Thanksgiving. And for this Thanksgiving, I hope that the thankfulness of our Lord continues to overflow in our lives so we will be able to continue to share this love with others as well. I would like to welcome all our new visitors, visitors who are from out of town to come and join us in worship. Also, our members who are joining us in worship through the recorded sermons. Let us have a time to pray before we start our worship. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here today. We thank you for your love and the blessings that you poured out in our lives, that we can celebrate this time of a festival called Thanksgiving, giving thanks to you. Let us always fix our eyes upon to you and know that all these blessings come from you, that these blessings are here for us to share with others and to share the blessings and love that overflows in our lives. We thank you for gathering us here to listen to your words as we approach the season of Advent. I pray that you'll prepare our hearts for the coming King. And Lord, may you dwell in our lives. May the word of my heart, my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be only worthy in front of you. And may you be glorified. We thank you. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are entering this time in a Christian celebration called Advent. Advent in a Greek meaning has this meaning of coming or arrival. Who are we waiting for? We are waiting for one thing and one thing only. Not Santa, not our families, and not a day off. We are waiting for the true King, a peace, Prince of Peace, to come and dwell in our lives. We prepare our hearts. We prepare our little home in our hearts, asking that God of joy, the God of love, the God of peace, and the God of hope to dwell in us. So in the Christian tradition, we have been celebrating this festival called Advent, which is the 4 months that leads to Christmas. And the Christmas being the height of our preparation and our height of our waiting to receive the King to dwell in us. Are you ready for that? Amen. But a lot of people, instead of being ready for that day, we get ready for other things. And I have to be one of them who are guilty of that as well. Why people, most people are excited for December might not be Christmas this year. It might be they might be excited because of the new release movie called Star Wars 7. I don't know if you are a Star Wars advocate, but I was actually born on the year that Star Wars was first released. And in my childhood, every single time we come together, we will see Star Wars. Even this tradition continues on with my sons. So every year, we will have a day that is just reserved to watch Star Wars Episode 1-6. It is quite of a journey. Whenever we see this first verse on the screen, a long time ago in the galaxy far, far away, there is some kind of excitement that comes in. And definitely on December 18th, we will be excited to see this movie with my children. But I just thought, why are we so excited about this movie and not excited about Jesus Christ? So I wanted to use this opportunity that I might not have for many, many years to preach about the gospel according to Star Wars. There is the good news in Star Wars, but there is a good news that actually came from the Bible. Like I said, this has been a movie that created so much attention throughout the whole generation that there are people who actually recognize this as even close to a religion. There are people who are getting ready, as if we are getting for Christmas, getting ready to watch this movie. I've been meeting with someone who throughout this Thanksgiving dinner, and he showed me the costume that his friend is going to wear for the opening night of Star Wars 7. They prepare themselves. They cleanse themselves. And they sanctify themselves to watch this movie. But why is this happening? It's probably because what this person had said is so true. Brian Stone once said, in the old days, religion provided this kind of worldview in the world. However, Star Wars is known to be one of the movies that substituted the role of religion, and it became religion to some people. I wanted to use this movie to explain the worldview of God that provides to us. And I wanted to see what this is all about. So what we are doing, like Brian Stone had said, that cinema functions both as a mirror and a window, but primarily a lens. Movies are merely a portrayal world that propagates a worldview, that cinema helps us to see what we might not otherwise have seen, but is also shaped what and how we see it. And what I'm trying to do through this 4-week of sermon series, I'm going to take back what we had been, what the movie had taken away from us. Provide a worldview and provide the good news of our Lord with the help of this movie. Do you think that is going to be exciting? I think I'm the one who is most excited. I have my Jedi robe on. And I brought all these things. But in all, I hope that this will really help us to really see what Christ is all about. Like I said, we grew up in this kind of suspense of this movie, providing a worldview to us. People were all excited, like I said. People were all perplexed when Darth Vader once said, Luke, I'm your father. Why is this such a big thing? Because we live in a world that is in unbalance. We see that the good and the evil are in constant competition. And somehow we feel like the things that the good that we thought of actually becomes the evil. And the evil that we thought of actually becomes the good. And somehow we feel like the evil overpowered the good. And we are longing for that day where the good will overpower the evil. Why was that such a shocking statement when Darth Vader said, Luke, I am your father? It is because the evil that Luke was fighting against actually was the good that he was longing for such a long time. And we live in this kind of perplexed society where we want to see some kind of balance that comes back to us. And that is the hope that we are looking for. We live in this society asking for good, and we strive to live good. But thing is, we have seen more evil that comes into our lives. That is why we have this hope and somewhat of an expectation that the good should overrun the evil one day. But does that come from anything else that we do? That any of the things that we do, can that really overcome all the evil? When we ourselves are evil, when we ourselves have a glimpse of that evilness inside of us, and when we ourselves have that sin that we know has been cleansed away, but seems to creep upon our lives, we live in that kind of longing of a hope of good to overcome. And Star Wars is in that kind of setting where they are asking and they are looking for that new hope to come to overrule all the evil of the Empire. There was this big fight against the Republic and also the Separatists. And during that fight, the Jedis, who are the defenders of the peace, are trying to defend that goodness. But they know that they are not well equipped, or they are not powerful to overrule all the goodness. And that is when they see this prophecy that there's going to be a chosen one who comes and who brings balance between the force of good and evil. And isn't that something that we long for as well? We come and we long for that day that through the first advent of Jesus Christ came to the world and Jesus Christ redeemed all our sins. But we also look forward to that second advent where Jesus Christ will come again and provide that true balance of good and evil. And there was that one person, even though the whole world in Star Wars saga, not that many people really look for that prophecy, but there was these minorities, the people who believed in these words and believed in this prophecy. And one of them was a person named Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon Jinn, later, that was a movie that was later released in 1997, which is the first episode. And it is an episode that talks about this character named Anakin Skywalker. Qui-Gon Jinn comes, and he sees that the Force is very strong in this boy. So he comes, and he asks, and he actually recruits him to become a Jedi, which is very unusual at the time. But the more that he is spending time with this little boy, Anakin Skywalker, he is convinced that this might be the one who is prophesied to bring balance of this world of evil and good. So as he continues on, even in his death, he asks his young Padawan named Obi-Wan Kenobi to train this young boy. And this is the clip of his words. Can we have the sound? We do have to love technology. God said, love your enemy. So I'm loving him. Is it working? If it doesn't work, that might be God's will. So Qui-Gon Jinn, on his deathbed, he asked Obi-Wan Kenobi to train this child. But why is this so significant? Because when everybody else did not have this hope, he was the one who held on to the hope. He was the one who held on that there is going to be this coming of the one person who brings balance. And that isn't that something that we need to learn as Christians? When God had said, I will come again, that God said, in my kingdom will be done, aren't we, as Christians, supposed to hold on to that hope of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't we the ones who need to hold on to that hope when Christ comes into my heart and Christ comes into my life, that I can live in this world of sharing that hope to others? And Qui-Gon Jinn was a significant character who even died on the first episode. We still have a strong impact knowing that he's the one who found the chosen one. But we also see that there is a similar character in the Bible who did a similar thing when Jesus was born. On the eighth day of Jesus, remember a story of a man named Simeon. Simeon was there, and he was there in the temple because he wanted the redemption of Jerusalem to happen. How much of us really want this balance of good to happen in this life? How much of us of our desires to long for that time of God's reign to happen in this world? How much of us are committed to pray for that? And how many of us are committed to long and do whatever is needed for that day? And Simeon was one of those, because he saw that there was an imbalance in their country. Jerusalem was actually the chosen people of God. But in the worldly view, how could they suffer under the Roman Empire? And how could they suffer under all the powers of the world? And he saw that there was some kind of imbalance. So he longed for the restoration of the Jewish people. And he was praying and praying and praying up to a point that he knew, and he was righteous and he was dedicated for this cause, that the Spirit actually said, I will show you the hope before you die. And it also says, on the day that Jesus was brought unto the temple, it was the eighth day that Jesus was brought to be consecrated, Simeon was actually led to the temple to meet the chosen one. Simeon was that person who held onto the word of hope, even though everybody else denied it, even though everybody else ignored it, even though everybody else did not pay attention to it. He was devoted to do it. And how many of us in this time of Advent hold on to that word of hope, knowing that we will see Christ come again? How many of us hold on to that word, knowing that Christ will come in our lives to restore the imbalance that we experience? But is that only significant for the people who hold on to that hope? What about a person who actually bears that hope? And this is what happens of the story that we had read. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. May the force be with you." May the Lord be with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called the Son, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" This is what happened 2,000 years ago. Mary was in her house. And the angel came to her and appeared in front of her, saying this news that is so perplexed that you have to remember, this actually means that Mary could have died of following God's will. There is this picture that depicts the time of when Mary received this message. She was only around the age of 16. And she was engaged to this man called Joseph. And as you remember in this culture, if you defiled your marriage commitment and you were conceived, even though it was the baby of God, remember in the culture how harshly they could come back, this consequence can come back to you. With accepting what Gabriel was saying, she actually said yes to, "Even though I die, may the will of God be done." And for us, when we remember this time when God bears Jesus Christ through us, it might mean in the culture we might get ostracized. We might get condemned. We might get persecuted just because of the hope that we carry. And we might be perplexed because of this call of God saying that the Lord is with you. So go out to the world and bear this hope of Jesus Christ with you. And look at the facial expression of Mary, like she was perplexed. That might be the same thing that happens to us. But does that fear have to encounter, and does that fear have to block us to follow the hope and follow God's plan? We come and see how God works in a way for the people who bears that hope. And it is what Mary had accepted. After she was encountered by Gabriel, this is what the angel says to her when she says, "How can this happen?" And you might have the same question. How can this happen to me? I'm only a person. I'm only a human. How can God come to me? And how can I carry the hope of God? And how can I carry out the kingdom of God? This is what the angel says. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, is her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. There's two parts of this story. The angel says, I'll just cut off the thing that the word of him in the middle and say, the Holy Spirit is with you. And in the end it says, nothing is impossible with God. When we are supposed to bear that hope in this world, and when we are questioning, and when we are doubting about our own ability, we need to remember the promise that the angel says. We need to remember that the promise of Jesus Christ had fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is with you. And there is nothing impossible with God. When Jesus departed this world, he promised us that he will send the Holy Spirit that will be our counselor, that will be our strength, that will be our motivation for us to go out into the world and follow our Lord. So nothing is impossible. Probably it is more of our willingness of whether or not we want to accept it. And this young Mary responds to the angel saying, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Is this an easy thing? It isn't. Probably because it is such a hard thing, we might not have seen that much of God's kingdom being restored in this world. Probably because this is such a hard thing, we might see Christmas had been overpowered by all the industry and materialism. When Christmas is actually a celebration of Christ coming into our lives, it became a celebration of people and the culture. But what will happen if the Christians who are bound to this hope, who are already redeemed by this hope, that will say, "Here I am. May the word of my master be done. And may I continue to become the hope bearer of this world. May my life become a replica of Jesus Christ. May my light be shined because Christ is in me and I bear that hope." What kind of change can we bring into this world? Like I said in Star Wars, most of the people did not believe in this prophecy. And most of the people did not believe in the word. But there were always that certain people who hold on to the word and carry it out. And may this Advent season become a season where we hold on to that hope and bear it with us. And let us see how this hope continues to grow in us. And let us see how this hope can really be contagious to others, because people are living in this world that is unbalanced. And may us also see, by us bearing this hope, a true balance of the force, or actually good and evil, be realized in your lives. We will continue to talk about the gospel according to Star Wars in the next 3 weeks. And I hope that this will be another worldview that comes to your heart, that you will see why Christ needs to be in us. And whenever fear comes in, may you believe in the Holy Spirit that strengthens you to live in this world as a hope bearer. To all who accept this call of our Lord, preparing our hearts of the coming King, may the force be with you. Let us all pray. Lord, may you be with us as we live in this world, which is already redeemed by your sacrifice, but still have so much evil and good that is in imbalance. We ask that you will continue to work through your people who hold on to your word of hope, knowing in this unbalanced world that you will come to restore all things. And until you come, knowing that we are called to be the hope bearers in this world, even though this command that you have to us seems to be so big and frightening, we ask that your Spirit will continue to be with us. That with having your Spirit, let us know that nothing is impossible. And with having all these people who commit to be your servants and follow your wills of carrying this hope of Jesus Christ, may we see how your kingdom will be restored. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your love of sending your Son to our lives. But more than that, we thank you for the willingness of your people to prepare their hearts for the coming King. Dwell in us and work with us and also shine through us. We thank you and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.